Want to roll dice with your favorite Bad GM? Check out starplaying.games and search for Bad GM Dan. You can join me for some Warhammer Fantasy roleplay, possibly some Pathfinder 2nd Edition, Starfinder 2nd Edition, maybe even some Marvel Multiverse RPG. You know, just like any RPG, the limit is only your imagination. Check out startplaying.games to book me however you want, or join a game that I'm already running. I hope to see you there, and we'll roll some dice together.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, A Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor, and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like, order for, like, paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks!
The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please visit professionalcasual.com. This message approved by Throwlash Gaming.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, A Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor, and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like, order for, like, paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks!
Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls with me, Taylor, who is your personal grudge bearer, as well as the Dan.
I am also the here.
You are here. My notes say Brooks is here, but he's not.
You have notes?
So I got no. No, I don't. Hey, so yeah, Dan's also here. But listen, hey, Dan, before we get started, man, I want to talk to you about something. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's very important. All right. And it's our patrons over at patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his longma. So a huge special thanks to our top patrons. You gotta put the expression on long there. You know what I'm saying?
That was the perfect choice for this episode.
Oh, man. We've got our current big subbies of X-Paxis, Rob, Iron Maze, Tal, Dagna, Bicon, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilted Sparky, Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velisenda, Pagan Prince, David, Handsome Andy, Brooks, Chris Dillard, and Cord. Thank you so much, dudes. We appreciate you immensely. And then for our Electric Casuals tier, we've got Lou G, who Dan has a little shout out for Lou G.
So funny. Actually, we just recorded yesterday for Gapapa. I shout him out there as well to say thanks, Lou G, for canceling your membership and then rejoining to be an Electric Casual. I love it.
You got to show your support for the old world. You know what I'm saying?
Support.
Thank you, Luigi. Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan, Rev, Right Mad, Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled. Anthony Munwell, the Neil Harris, Lil Willy, Carlos, and Nick Barron. Thank you so much, folks, for your support in the Electric Casuals tier. If you love old world as much as we do, go over to patreon.com/professionalcasual and sign up for that Electric Casual tier. Show us your support and love. We love you, and we love your stuff. Love, a lot of love. Dan, I've gotten zero hobby done because I've been busy doing YouTube stuff. I just hit 10,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Dude, that's so awesome. If you're not, make sure to check out Throwlash on YouTube.
It's wild. Throlash, Throwlash.com. You can find all of my stuffs and my things there. It's insane to think 10,000 subscribers. I don't know, 3 months ago I was under 3,000. And Dan also probably hasn't done any hobbies or gameplay because he's been moving. He's in his new house right now.
We closed just under a week ago. So, like, I know the last few episodes I said all my free time has been for moving. That was like packing and getting ready. Now it's just I'm a teacher, so summer vacation now. So, like, my vacation is just packing and moving and unloading and loading my van and then driving it over here and then unpacking and taking everything out of it. Like, and it's been 800 degrees, stupid humidity. So oh my God. It's brutal.
It's so like, awful.
The timing's so good because we're out of school, but it's also like, why does I have to be in the start of July? And it's so hot. So I'll apologize now for, I assume, my worse audio quality because I'm not at the usual spot currently. Hopefully, we're probably not going to be recording Kapapa for a little while, so I plan on getting all that stuff over here over the coming week. So then next time I'll have the normal setup again in the new basement.
Heck yeah. I got to come over to your new house, see what's going on.
Heck yeah.
Listen, Pony didn't show up to help move, so neither am I.
That's true. I would, yeah, because we've been doing it so ad hoc. It's like we were going to have one big moving day, and then it was like, oh, no, we're having a yard sale this day. And it was like, oh okay. I guess I'll tell everybody not to come help that day then.
Well, hey, listen, if you're free Saturday, let me know. I got something going on at 11, but other than that, we can figure it out. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I got a lot of stuff in my throat. Goodness. We are talking about Cathay today, which happens to rhyme sometimes. And it's brutal. I've skimmed through some of this. What's that?
The Grand Army of Cathay.
The Grand Army of Cathay. Yes. So we have a Cathay. I think it's still called an Arcane Journal. It sure is. The Armies of Grand Cathay. And it's kind of a different type of Arcane Journal, only in the fact that there's no special scenario that I saw, and there's just a Grand Army list. So it's a little bit different than your, you know, cut of the, what is it? Cut of the mill? Is that the expression?
Jib. Cut of your jib.
Jib of my mill. That's weird.
Man, it's more like an army book of old, where it's like, this is the army that we have right now.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's a it's great not
way to put it.
Adding extra stuff. It's just, this is the army. And unfortunately, they said this is it for like the time being. There's not like, we know there's a second Arcane Journal coming, but they said they're not adding any new units, which seems disappointing.
And before we get into it, I read something today, and I'm going to throw out crazy wild speculation here, folks.
I love wild speculation.
Crazy wild speculation. Don't believe any of this. Just eat an entire pound of salt as I say this to you. I saw something today where we might be getting an Arcane Journal for Chaos Dwarves soon.
I've seen there's a lot of discussion about that. The Warhammer guys were like, there's a new preview coming out soon for summer. And they were all, you know, hyping up the idea of hats and then big hats. And it's like,
yeah, big crazy hats.
If we've jumped all the way to Cathay, what's between the old world and Cathay, the Darklands, and the Mountains of Morn? So, like, adding in Chaos Dwarves and Ogre Kingdoms is easy peasy.
For sure. For sure. I'm as excited, especially for the Ogre Kingdoms. Dude, if there's anything that would get me to buy more ogres, ooh, that'd be dangerous.
I love ogres.
Real dangerous. But anyways, I'm equally as excited as I am like, dude, where's the Norse? Where's the Norse people that we were promised? Where's Kislev?
Oh, come I was going to say, we have Chaos Warriors. What are you talking about? But yeah, Kislev. And especially after they did the whole like, oh, we don't have plans for Kislev or Cathay. Just kidding. Here's Cathay. It's like, so where's Kislev? At least a preview of that. Maybe they're talking about like the big hats that the Kislevites wear.
Could be. That's very fair.
I would honestly That's be fine fair. With that.
For sure. Personally, you know, Chaos... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think personally I'd rather have Cathay before Chaos Dwarves.
Or Kislev?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I meant Kislev.
I think it... There's a part of me that is so... How do I put this politely? Nobody has any idea why GW does the things that they do when they do them.
Even GW.
Even GW. So there's a part of me that's like, no, they would absolutely come out with this crazy out of left field thing for Chaos Dwarves before they came out with an entire new Kislev army, for sure. Because that's what you should do as a business, is like, here's your brand new Cathay army that everyone's been screaming about for 20 years. And then like, hey, we're going to cut it off with or mix it up with a little bit of Chaos Dwarves, which, you know, we already kind of have a range for, but at the same time, like, it hasn't been supported in God knows how long. Before we come out with the whole brand new Kislev army that everyone's been screaming about for 20 years, but nobody has any idea what GW does and why they do it. So, I don't know, tomorrow Kislev could come out.
Who knows? You really have no idea. Because they work we know they work really far ahead, but in terms of, like, release or reveals and whatnot, so, you know, it's like, here's Cathay, here it is, and, like, we had really good clues that it was coming, but it was only Adepticon that they actually announced it, and it's like 3 months later, boom, it's in your hands. Like, their turnaround time with it can be so fast.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not super upset about that, let's be honest.
No, I'm totally fine with that. I'd rather that than announce something and then a year later finally get it.
Or with the case of Old World itself, what was that, like 6 years?
I think it was four or five.
It was insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
You know what I am upset about, though, Dan?
Dandruff.
Dandruff is a little upsetting, that's for sure, but I'm just going to shave my head about it.
Oh, fair, yeah.
What I'm upset about is there's a damn army that has a blimp before the friggin' dwarves do, and I'm so pissed off about it. I'm so angry. And then X-Pax really came in and rubbed it in my face.
Yeah, he did. You deserved it.
It's like a good foot and a half tall as well. It's insane.
It's gigundurous.
Gigundurous. But let's get into it. Hey, folks. In this Arcane Journal, there's a Grand Cathay army list. There's no other type of list so far. Maybe we'll get one, I don't know, when GW just decides on Christmas Day that they're going to drop a new Arcane Journal for Cathay.
But, third Arcane Journal.
Right, yeah. And it's pretty typical. 50% of your army spent on characters. 0-1 Cathayan Dragon. 0-1 Shugengan Lord or Lord Magistrate. And then you can take Shugengan Gate Masters, Gatekeepers, and Strategists. Your core needs to be 25%. Has to at least be. You got Jade Warriors and 0-1 unit of Jade Lancers per 1,000 points, which is pretty cool because the models are incredible. Anyways, yeah. Up to 50% of your army's point value can spent on Jade Lancers or 0-3 War Machines chosen from the following list per 1,000 points, the Fire Rain, Rocket Battery, and Cathayan Grand Cannon. If you're
0-3 per 1,000 points.
Yeah, so you can have 6 Grand Cannons.
Apparently that's more than Empire.
Right, and I think there's rules in here where you can shoot twice potentially with Grand Cannons as well, which is dumb.
I believe so, which we'll definitely get to.
Yeah, we'll get to soon. If your general is a Shugengan Lord or a Shugengan, you can take 0-1 Cathayan Sentinel as a special, which is dope.
Yeah,
because they are rare choices. And if your general is a Lord Magistrate or a Strategist, you can take 0-1 Sky Lantern as a special choice, which is, when we get into rare, up to 25% on Sky Lanterns or Cathayan Sentinels, right? So it kind of just adds a little bit, depending on who your general is, to one way or the other. And then 20% in Mercenaries, and then you can have 25% as allies. And your allies are Empire.
What?
Of Grand Cathay, Dwarven Mountain Hold, sorry, Empire of Man, Kingdom of Britonia, Suspicious Allies, Wood Elf Realms, which is also suspicious, and High Elf Realms. So they're way more happy with High Elves than they are with French or elves that live in woods.
Can you blame them?
Adjacent to French. No.
And also, you were, it says that any Empire of Grand Cathay Army of Infamy is also an ally, which obviously we don't have yet, but we can pretty safely assume we'll get that in the second Arcane Journal. We'll be more like a typical Arcane Journal with, I'd be a little surprised if we got two armies of infamy there, maybe just one, but maybe not. I don't know. With such a limited range of units, like, what are they going to do? How much different can you make it?
Like you said, if they're not going to come out with any new units at all, like, I don't know. It'd be pretty interesting.
I mean, I could see, like, you know, Jade Warrior variants or Jade Lancer variants that you can, maybe they'll come out with an upgrade, like a different sprue. And it's like, oh, now your Jade Warriors can have great weapons, or your Jade Lancers can have bows, you know?
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
Or just alternate uses for those kits somehow. Because, like, I can't believe they don't have, like, a fast cavalry unit. Because, like, you know, the idea of, like, Chinese horse archers is such a big part of that history and mythos yeah. that I'm really surprised they don't have that, you know, with, because they, I guess maybe because they kind of already have that in Kislev with Mongol horse archers.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But why can't you have both?
Why not both?
Yeah. Why can't you have both? Because, I mean, especially with the different aesthetics that you get between Kislev and Cathay.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's completely different, to be perfectly honest.
It's not like most armies have some kind of, you know, fast cavalry with bows or equivalent, you know, like.
Sure.
I don't. It's very strange to me that it's not part of this, but maybe eventually.
Yeah, there's a lot of time between here and there, right?
Sure.
Wherever the hell there is. It made sense in my head when I said it.
Good job.
Yeah, but they are heavy cavalry. Yeah, let's jump right into your kind of basic core stuff, right? So you have your Jade Warriors. Dan, talk to me about those guys.
Oh, I'm not on that page. Hold on. Where are we?
Guess what? I don't have a schedule for this podcast at all. We just kind of fly off the seat of our pants. Go ahead, Jade Warriors.
Oh, God. I was going to start talking about special rules. Okay, Jade Warriors. They are your pretty run-of-the-mill infantry.
Yeah, they're humans.
They are heavy infantry, which is kind of nice. Movement 4, threes pretty much across the board. But they are weapon skill 4, which is nice.
Which so is
they
dope.
Are trained. But strength and toughness 3, 1 wound, of course. Initiative 3, 1 attack. Leadership 8, which is nice.
Which is also dope. Yeah.
Yeah. And they are 8 points a model, so they're not cheap for your basic infantry. And you can give them halberds or shields. They must take one of the following: halberds or shields. Baked into their point cost, it's free. They have all the usual command upgrades. The Jade Officer, their champion, can take magic items up to 25 points. You can give them 0-1 unit per 1,000 points, can have drilled for 1 point, stubborn for 2 points a model, and take a magic standard worth up to 50.
Yeah.
So you can make these guys really expensive and make them, 11 points a model. You give them both drilled and stubborn. And I've seen some people freaking out about, like, oh my God, they can have drilled 1 point a model. I just, like, yeah, that's a good price point, but I don't see drilled as useful in a block of infantry as it is with cavalry.
Sure.
Like, it's still good. Fair enough. But I think it's better for cavalry. And then special rules, they are close order, which is nice. They have defensive stance, which we'll get in a second. They have detachment and regimental unit, which is kind of fun. If you want to, you know, mix, instead of just having big blocks, you can have some smaller blocks. This is where it's a little weird. You don't have any shooting infantry.
You know, yeah, for sure. You can't have
stand and shoot detachment.
We've talked about this a lot. Shooting, ballistico shooting is kind of terrible.
I mean, it's fair. So you have your counter charge detachment, which is probably better anyway. And then they have a rule called Will of the Dragons, which we'll get into later, because a lot of units have this, and it's kind of like the defining feature of this army.
Well, real quick, I have it up. I can go over it if you'd like.
Yeah, let me just do defensive stance first, because that's sure, for this unit specifically. It says, unless it is charged during the preceding movement phase or counts as having charged this turn, a unit with this special rule may reroll any armor save rolls of a natural 1 made during the combat phase. So these guys can be super defensive with hand weapon shield. They do have heavy armor. So you're talking 3 up rerolling 1s with the new parry rules.
Yeah, man.
Really good.
It's friggin' awesome. That's a great block. So if you, because they are detachment and regimental, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could take, a block of them with the hand weapon shields and then some halberds on some other ones, right?
Yeah, I like the idea of and their unit size is only 5+. So you could have a little unit of, a 5-man dart that's like, oh, you're charging me? Well, I'm going to charge you with halberds. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
sorry.
That would be absolutely dope. No, dude, it's cool. You got a little pupper do. You got a new dog, don't you?
Yeah, his name's Nelson. He's barking.
Hi, Nelson. Got to be barking at stuff, Nelson. Yeah, so they can. They're pretty defensive. They're pretty much as defensive as dwarf shield folks, except they're just not T4, right?
Right.
So that armor really helps.
It's gonna so make the will of the dragons. Difference.
Yeah. The T4 is dope. Will of the dragons. We'll go over that real quick. A unit with a special rule may reroll a failed panic test when a friendly unit is destroyed whilst within 6 inches, or when it is fled through by a friendly unit. So they essentially are just like, I'm not too worried about folks dying around me. You know what I mean?
Which might not seem like a lot at first, but that special rule like builds on itself. So we have, where is it? I believe it's the elemental winds that affects units with the rule. There it is. Yes. So elemental winds during each of their start of turn subphases, the Grand Cathay player rolls a d6 to determine which of the elemental winds blow the strongest. So you get one of these every turn, either yin or yang, right? On a 1 or 3, it's yang. On a 4+, it's yin. And if it's yang, until your next start of turn subphase, wizards with Lore of Yang special rule increase their dispel range and the range of any enchantment spells they know by 3 inches.
Dope.
Which is nice. In addition, all friendly models with the Will of the Dragon special rule gain one of the following modifiers, either +1 movement or +1 initiative.
Yeah, and there's a little asterisk there, so you have to choose one for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So all eligible models gain the same modifier. So that's dope. And then the next one here is the Winds of Yin. Same kind of thing. Wizards with the Lore of Yin increase the range of Hex or Magic Missile by 3 inches. Awesome. In addition, all friendly models with the Will of Dragon special rule either gain +1 weapon skill or +1 leadership. That's so cool.
Right?
That's so cool.
So now your dudes are weapon skill 5 half the time.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the neat things about that, I mean, having leadership 9 on a significant turn where you were charged a lot could help too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really, really dope. But what this reminds me of is kind of the demon special rule where you roll like the 2d6 in 8th edition for the Winds of Magic, and you had this table of what you rolled, and then special things happen, right?
Yeah, that was so great. Or like the High Elf Phoenix used to have attuned to the winds.
Yes, something like absolutely.
That is pretty cool. And we'll see that Will of the Dragon is pretty much all over the place. So your other core unit, you know, 0 to 1, per 1,000 points, you can take a unit of Jade Lancers. So you really could have an all-mounted list if you want. Having 2 units of these guys at 2,000 points, you could easily do 25%, I think.
Yeah,
for sure. Because they're 20 points a model base. They have the same stat line as the Jade Warriors. Weapon skill 4 is nice, again, but still strength toughness 3. All that jazz. They are heavy cavalry because they have heavy armor, shields, and barding.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Nice. So they got a 3, 4, 2 up. Wait. 3 up.
3 up, right? Because it's infantry gets the parry thing.
Yeah, they can't get parry, but the barding basically gives them the same bonus there.
Yeah.
The usual. And then they have Cathayan Lances. So I'll go through the rest of it. You want to bring up their new weapons because they're slightly different than regular lances.
Yeah, for sure.
So the usual command upgrades, of course, all 3. They can take a magic standard worth up to 50 points, and there's no limitation there. Any unit of Jade Lancers can have a magic standard. The Jade Officer, the champion can take magic items up to a total of 50 points.
Dope.
Which is kind of crazy and awesome. And then 0 to 1 unit per 1,000 points may have ambushers for 1 point. Have drilled for 1 point, which is where I think it's absolutely worth it, or have stubborn for +2. So really, they're 21 points a model because you're going to buy drilled every time. then they have the Cathayan Cataphracts, which is a new rule they have below. Close Order, Counter Charge, Horde, Swift Stride, and Will of the Dragons. Horde is interesting. Jade Warriors don't have it, but the Lancers do.
That's actually kind of dope.
So they can count up to 2 ranks? Can cavalry only count 1 extra rank?
That sounds right.
I think. But so they can count more ranks, obviously, and potentially increase their leadership even more. And then they get all the bonuses from Will of the Dragons. And then the Cathayan Cataphracts is when a unit in which the majority of the models have this special rule makes a follow-up move, the unit counts as having charged. So that's when the enemy gives ground. They still count as charging, even if they only go those 2 inches, which is great when you have lances.
Yeah, that's really dope, for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of lances, we have some new Cathayan lances. They're, you know, dope. It's kind of a really incredible. And the reason is they're only strength plus one. They're AP one. They're armor bane one. But they, you know, they fight in an extra rank.
Oh, yeah. They're cavalry spears and thrusting spears.
Right, but like they can do it on the charge, though.
Right, it doesn't say they... I guess they're like throwing spears and cavalry spears at the same time.
Yeah, they're that's really wild. Really cool.
So that
makes them strength 4 on the charge?
Yeah, which isn't crazy good, but it's still... You're going to get a bucket load of weapon skill 4, maybe weapon skill 5, strength 4 attacks with AP 1,
yeah.
Armor Bane 1. Like, that's not bad at all. No. And that's where Horde makes a bit more sense because you're going to want bigger units of these guys to take advantage of that fight in extra rank and Horde. So, like, again, 20 points a model, 21 points a model with drilled. Like, you could easily fill your core with this at 2,000 points because, like, I mean, 10 of these dudes is already 210 points.
Right. Give them, absolutely.
And then we'll talk about magic items per... Maybe this episode, probably the next episode, because there's so much to cover already.
Yeah, for real. Brand new army. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, yes, the unit choice is a bit limited, but it's still a lot of new stuff.
But Dan, they're gorgeous.
The models are so good. I want to skip over talking about the dragon stuff for now, because there's only one dragon currently, and it's a special character. She's awesome. She looks
but she's dope.
Fantastic. But I want to focus on the stuff that's more likely, and the model's not out yet anyway at time of recording. So I want to focus on what is currently out there with the Shugengen Lords, because they're awesome too. I love these things. So it's Shugengen Lord and then the Shugengen General is the, you know, bit lower rank there. And what's interesting about these characters is they're always mounted on the Great Spirit Longma. They're kind of dragon horse.
Yeah, first of all, it's called a Longma, which is dope.
Great name.
It's a great name. So it's the little flavor text here is only the most powerful heroes rise to the rank of Grand General in the armies of Cathay. These men and women are often descendants of the Celestial Dragon's own offspring, which is awesome. Natural sorcerers who take them to mastery of the elemental winds as easily as wielding a blade. The most powerful of the dragon-blooded are known as the Shugengen and are revered within the celestial court. Regardless of their origins, each grand general is a skilled warrior and, as befits their rank, carries weapons and armor gifted to them from the armories of Wei Jin. They lead from the front in battle, leaving strategy and trickery to the likes of wizards and magistrates, those piddly little things. Their presence in the thick of the fighting inspire the armies of the Dragon Emperor. That's so dope. Sorry.
Yeah. It really talks them up, and they really follow it up because their stat line is awesome. So Shugengen is a wizard already.
Uh-huh.
Right? A Shugengen Lord starts as a level 2. A Shugengen General starts as a level 1. And then you can beef them up to level 4 or level 2, respectively. But they're also really good fighters. The Lord has weapon skill 6, strength 4, toughness 5, because it's on a monster. Wounds 7, again, because it's on a monster. Initiative 6, 4 attacks, and leadership 9 for 220 points.
It's so worth.
Yeah, they're good. And then so their monster is a monstrous creature. It's not a behemoth. It's not that big. But the Great Spirit Longma itself is movement 8 with fly 9. So even if it can't fly, you're losing an inch. It is weapon skill 5, strength 5, initiative 4 with 3 attacks. Not bad at all. It has Will of the Dragons as well, so it can get bumped up to 6 pretty, you know, again, half the time. with your Shigegan Lord then being 7 weapon skill.
So this thing is already pretty dope, and it the equipment on it is really where it comes into play. You've got your hand weapon and your iron talons, and the iron talons are on the Shigengan, which is interesting.
I thought that was the Longma. Because they have that included on this page. I assume that was the Longma, but yeah, hand weapon and iron talons and light armor. Interesting.
And the interesting thing with the iron talons is they always strike first.
Yeah, it's their strength of 4 AP 1 all the time, but strikes first is nice. Get rectiles.
It's weird though because he's already initiative 6. You know what I mean?
He's got so good
unless
initiative
you're playing
too.
Against elves, right?
Yeah,
unless
know.
You're playing against other elves, it's really interesting to give that. I would think that would be on the Longma, but it says specifically it's on the Shigengan.
Yeah, the Longma has the Crown of Horns, which is its strength of 5, AP 1, Armor Bane 1. So nothing crazy, but it can pierce some armor.
Yeah, for sure.
In addition to that, Iron Talons, the Shigengan can take a Celestial Blade for 6 points, so it better be pretty good, or a Cathayan Lance, which in this case, I don't see taking the Cathayan Lance very often. You're probably going to give this person a magic weapon anyway, but half of the point of the Cathayan Lance is to fight in extra ranks, which you're not going to do with a monster.
Right. And let me tell you, Celestial Blade is kind of worth the 6 points. So it's strength plus 1, so what's that, strength 5?
Okay.
It's AP 1, and it always strikes first again.
For 6?
For 6 points.
That's a good magic item for 25 points.
It's really good, dude.
I mean, it's not magic, so I guess you lose that, but you almost don't need a magic weapon on this person with that for 6 points. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's 226 points right now. You know, like, so worth.
But then you're also going to give them a dragon fire pistol because they can take a dragon fire pistol, which
that's
sounds
so cool.
Awesome. You can upgrade their light armor to heavy armor, which you're gonna probably, because you might think, oh, but aren't they a wizard? But they come with light armor. Oh, they don't worry about that because they have the Celestial Forged Armor rule, which is just chaos armor.
Yep.
They can cast spells while wearing it, and it gives them a ward save, in this case, 5 up. So good.
It's so good, dude.
Do you have the dragon fire pistol stats there?
Yeah, first of all, the flavor text here, you know what, I'll go over the pistol and then I'll go over the flavor text because it kind of gives off a little something here. So the Dragonfire pistol is range 12, it's a pistol. Strength 5, which is awesome, AP 1. It's flaming attacks, multiple shots 2, and it is quick shot, which is interesting. So here's the interesting thing about the Dragonfire pistol, and this might be a teaser for future stuff. It says it's a smaller version of the weapons wielded by Dragonfire gunners.
Okay.
What are those?
Yeah, we don't have that yet. So there,
I want
that. Could be like an alternate sprue for Jade Warriors to make them Dragonfire gunners instead. Kind of have like Drake. What are they called? Iron Drakes, but Jade Warriors with guns.
You listen to me right now. I will take Iron Drakes as Chinese people. That would be freaking awesome.
You listen to me right now.
You listen to me right now. I want Chinese folks with dragon head. Rifles shooting out fire. That sounds awesome.
Sounds I want so dragon good. Fire gunners real bad now. But yeah, so your wizard can take that and just shoot people about it, and then also cast fireballs at them, because did I mention they can take battle magic, elementalism, illusion, or high magic?
Dope.
So good. But they must choose one of the following special rules, either Lore of Yang or Lore of Yin, which basically gives them access to those signature spells we'll talk about. We might as well talk about it when we're done talking about this character. Sure. The only other thing is that a Shigengan Lord can take up to 100 points of magic items, whereas the Shigengan General can only take 50 points. Couple other bonus things they get for special rules is Armored Hide 2, which is nice. You give them heavy armor, and now you're talking 3 up, 5 up for almost no
super
points.
Dope.
For 4 super points. Dope. Counter charge is really nice. It only causes fear because the monstrous creature. Fly 9, D3 plus 1 impact hits, which is, I mean, impact hits are always nice, but it's only strength 5 with no AP. Again, because it's not a behemoth. And then it's mastery of the elemental winds, which I'll jump down to in a second. The Swift Stride, which is always nice, and Will of the Dragon. So this one benefits from those other little boosts. Mastery of the elemental winds is once per turn, a wizard within your army that has this special rule, and that is within 6 inches of one or more friendly wizards that also have this special rule, may apply a plus one modifier to casting rule. So, I mean, you got to have a couple of Shugengan lords around, and they're going to be not cheap in the end because you're going to give them a bunch of cool stuff. Plus one to cast, and that's even bigger deal now with the FAQ. Getting plus one to cast is way stronger than it used to be.
Correct, which I like. I honestly like that change a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Agree.
For sure. And you're going to take Miao Ying, who's the special character for almost 500 points, right? And she's going to be hanging out as a friggin' dragon, and she's going to be within 6 inches of your Shugengan, and you're just going to have an entire flank with just two characters on it. Anyways, we'll get into her later.
She does. Nice.
This is a lord level human. This is so awesome. It's almost an elf level human. You know?
It's almost a lord level elf.
I can't believe the words came out of my mouth in that order, but he's awesome.
We know how it's not a lord level elf.
Yeah.
Toughness 4. Sorry, toughness 5. Oh, because it's a monster, though. So the person might be only toughness 3.
That's true, so I would imagine. But on the next one is the Gate Masters of the Celestial City, and they're toughness 4.
Oh, wow. Well, I was going to say, let's talk about their magic a little bit. Those were our wizards. The lore of Yang and the lore of Yin, of course. You have to take one or the other on the Shugengan lords. So whichever lore they take allows. There's three different signature spells they can, of course, switch one of their spells out for.
Yep.
And they're kind of all great.
Why don't you do the lore of Yang and I'll handle the lore of Yin.
Dope. All right. So Yang says, in teaching of Feng Shi sorcery, the winds of magic are divided into two groups, Yin and Yang. Though through long years of study, Yang mages learn to control the tumultuous blusterings of the winds of magic. As masters of the elements and the heavens, they wield magic that is bright, vibrant, and extremely powerful. So we have Constellation of the Dragon. Blazing starlight leaps from the wizard's fingertips, dancing and forming a simulacrum of the constellation of the Dragon Emperor above the battlefield. Magic missile, my favorite kind of spells. meanwhile, you're flying around on a monster, don't forget. Casting value 7 or 11. Range 18, but it could potentially be 21, right? With the one Will of the Dragons. Or whatever it's called.
Elemental Winds? Yes.
Yeah.
Could be an extra 3 inches. Yep.
The spells cast with 7 or more, the target enemy unit suffers D6 plus 1 strength 4 hits with no AP. So it's, you know, a little bit lesser fireball, but it's only on a 7. That's not terrible. If the spell is cast with 11 or more, they take 2D6 plus 2 strength 4 hits with AP 1.
Ouch.
Nice. I mean, that 11 is much harder to get to now. Even if you're level 4, you're only getting plus 2 to the roll. So you got to roll a 9. If you got another wizard nearby, you only need to roll an 8. But still, that can be a little difficult to get off. But when it does, that's going to hurt. 2d6 plus 2? Ouch.
Yeah.
It's
average a 9.
Yeah, that's brutal. Strength 4, AP 1. Mm-hmm. Which we know makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Great Bastion. With a word of power from the wizard, the earth cracks and buckles as it is transformed into ramparts upon which gleaming battlements burn with celestial flame. It's a long description of a spell.
Yeah, but it's so dope, though.
That's really cool. So this is an enchantment, 9 plus, range 12, but could be 15, remains in play. The target-friendly unit gains a plus, 6 plus ward save against any wound suffered. Dope. In addition, every model within the front rank of an enemy unit that ends its charge move in base contact with the target unit whilst the spell is in play must make a dangerous terrain test. Any wounds lost are counted as unsaved wounds inflicted when calculating the combat result. However, while the spell is in play, the target unit cannot march or charge. The spell may target a friendly unit that is engaged in combat.
I don't know. That sounds awesome.
It really makes you double, you know, think twice about charging the unit that has the Great Bastion on them.
That absolutely.
Could be everybody takes a dangerous terrain test.
Yeah, on a roll of a one, they just lose a wound.
Oh, every model within the front rank. Okay, so it's not quite as bad. I thought it was the whole unit at first, and I was like, good God, in the front rank. So,
gosh, that used to be, what are they, Knoblar Trappers?
Oh, my God, the whole unit took dangerous terrain. So good. So that one's good. I like Constellation of the Dragon more, but I also just like damage-dealing attacks. Then we have Might of Heaven and Earth. Calling upon the elemental energies of Earth and Heaven, the wizard and those around them become imbued with the pure power of the Yang. So another enchantment, casting value 9 or 12. Again, we got a dual one. Range self. So this spell is cast with a 9 or more. The caster, their mount, and any unit they have joined gain a +1 modifier to their weapon skill and strength and gain flaming attacks. So now, so now your Longma could be... Your Shugengen Lord could be weapon skill 8, and your Longma could be weapon skill 7.
That's freaking awesome.
If it's cast with 12 or more, again, difficult to do, but what I like about these is you never have to declare ahead of time. It's just like, oh, I rolled really high. Great. I get more out of it. all friendly units that are within the caster's command range when the spell is cast gain a +1 modifier to their weapon skill and strength. And gain flaming attacks. This spell lasts until the end of this turn.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
That one's a nice big buff. One thing that is kind of interesting is that the Shugengen Lord, the long, it's not a large target.
Yeah, it reminds me. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so you're pretty much just going to have that 12-inch, but still affecting every unit within a 12-inch bubble with that spell.
Yeah.
Is pretty nasty.
You got to roll a 9 if you're within 6 inches of another wizard, but still, that's pretty dope. Might of Heaven and Earth. I got to be honest, the Constellation of the Dragon still kind of wins over, but that's only if you roll an 11 up, you know?
Yeah, the 7 up is not a D6 +1 strength 4, no AP. Like, it's still good, but it's not.
Yeah.
It could be better.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, if you roll higher.
Bastion, right, yeah. If we had Dragonfire Gunners, I would take that Great Bastion all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. You need those Dragonfire Gunners. All right, what about the lore of Yin?
So those that study the art of Yin magic wield dark and dangerous powers. They twist together the winds of magic to craft potent spells of brutal force, spells that can twist nature and upend the natural order of the world. At their command, the very light retreats, replaced by dark shadows from which elemental creatures creep to do their bidding. Oh my God, I love this. I love this.
I thought
so much.
It was the other way around. I always, for some reason, I thought Yang was like the dark and Yin was the light, but apparently I had it packed.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's kind of the same thing. You take the lore, a wizard with the lore of Yang special rule.
Yeah, they got a typo here. They forgot to change it to Yin. The copy paste.
Whoopsies. So it's a normal thing. Signature spell, lore magic, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, our first one is the spirits of wind and shadow. So elemental spirits descend upon the foe, enveloping them in a whirlwind of flickering shapes and ghostly gales. As they try to advance, those afflicted find themselves waylaid by the grasping talons of unseen spirits and buffeted by spectral winds. I love this spell. I love this spell.
Yeah,
it's a hex. It's cast on a 10 up. It's a range 15 or 18, depending on what you roll.
Could be 18.
Could be 18. Until the start of your next turn sub phase, the target enemy unit becomes subject to the random movement D6 special rule. Oh my God, I love that.
Woof. Imagine hitting like a, you know, elf cavalry with their movement 9.
Oh my God. Imagine hitting a dragon.
Yeah, because I think that just I think they can still fly, but they just fly D6 or how how that works. Ah, that's so cool. And it could be range 18, which is pretty big.
It's pretty big. It's perfect. It's so good. And it's cast on a 10 plus. Again, you only need like a 7, right? If you're within 6 inches. In
range, yeah. So, you're probably going to, if you want to go magic, you're probably best off running dual Chugengens, a lord, and then mm-hmm. probably a general as well, to give them each, and kind of run them near each other so you can get that plus one all the time, which is even more important than used to be.
I don't know if the point sink would be worth it, but at the same time, I haven't tried it yet. So you don't really know until it's on the table.
I think they're good enough that it would be worth it anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, the two of them can take a flank, right?
Yeah.
So the next one here is the Accursed Mirror. Ooh. The wizard creates a magical barrier of shifting darkness and howling wind around the enemy. This barrier snatches the enemy's missiles from the air and swallows the tips of their spears instantly, turning the lethal power of these weapons back upon their bearers. I love it.
What?
Right. So this is another hex. It's cast at a 9+. It's 15 inches unless you roll well, and then it's 18 inches. Until then, your next start of turn subphase, any rolls to hit of a natural 1 made by the target enemy unit during their shooting phase or combat phase result in a strength 3 AP 1 hit, which must be resolved against the target enemy unit. You make them hit themselves. It's so good.
Strength 3, but it's AP 1. That's nice.
So funny.
It's very funny. I like it a lot.
Could you imagine you're going up against elves?
And it's shooting over combat. And because it's a hex, it's so good.
It's so good. And obviously it can target an enemy unit engaged in combat, but oh my gosh, it's good.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, elves especially, like strength 3, if you've got, say, like a big unit of Lothran Sea Guard that are just launching a million arrows, and it's like, I don't know if I roll 40 dice here and have to take a whole bunch of strength 3 hits with AP 1, so I got a 6 up save.
Oh my gosh, dude. And
they wound me half the time? Ow.
Yeah, that's a 6.6 chance of rolling 1s. So you're going to roll 7 1s and hit yourself with it.
That's 3 dead elves.
That's friggin' hilarious. I love it. 3 dead elves is always a good day. And just one round of your own shooting.
No, I like that one a lot. I feel like there's a chance it won't do much because it's only rolls of 1 and then it's a strength 3 hit. But I love the concept of it a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The giant middle finger on it is just beautiful. Because then you get to scream, stop hitting yourself to your opponent, which is hilarious.
Why hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Right, exactly. Ancestral Warriors is our third. So the wizard calls upon the ancestors of the warriors under their command, summoning them up from the underworld to aid their descendants. These ghostly spirits rise up and strike at the enemy with a furious assault before vanishing into the earth once more.
Spooky.
So this is... What's that?
Is it spooky?
Spooky. So this is our first assailment spell for Yin and Yang, and it's a casting value of 7/11. And then the range is combat, obviously, right? So if this spell is cast with a casting result of 7 or more, a single enemy unit within the caster is engaged in combat with suffers 2d3 strength 2 hits with an AP of dash. Not great.
No.
If this spell is cast with a casting roll of 11 or more, the target enemy unit suffers 2d6 strength 4 hits, AP minus 1, armor bane 2.
That's a huge jump.
So the spell itself has armor bane too, not just when you do 11 plus, but oh my gosh, that's a huge jump.
Right, from 2d3 strength 2, no AP, to 2d6 strength 4, AP 1. Like, that's actually a good assailment spell. Too bad you need 11 plus to cast it.
Or an 11. I mean, you only got to roll an 8 if you're within 6 inches of someone else.
Right, ugh. So, I mean, that can be, that's way better than an old breath weapon attack. And I think that's the same as an old breath weapon, 2d6 strength 4.
Yeah, yep, the same as an old breath weapon in 8th edition, yep.
That's so good.
But, hey, every 6 is AP 3 if you roll an 11+, so that's decent.
Hey, pretty dope.
I gotta be honest, I would take the Spirits of Wind and Shadow over Ancestral Warriors.
I think that's the winner just because, I don't know. Ancestral Warriors is such a crapshoot because it's like, yes, your Shugengen Lord is probably going to be in combat anyway because they're good in combat.
Yeah.
And doing an assailment I feel like the same ones can be so poopy. But this one is like, okay, if you get the 7 plus, it's probably not going to do anything anyway. But if you get the 11 plus, you got to kill that unit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would take it just for like, well, there's a chance I can just obliterate you. And then
for sure. For sure. And the nice thing about that is if you are taking the lore of Yin, and then you get the winds of Yin, which, you know, works together, you can either have plus one weapon skill or plus one leadership. So now your Shigengan Lord's weapon skill 7.
Yeah. Right?
Which is dope. So you do that assailment spell and then weapon skill 7 into combat, which I'm not going to lie, sounds pretty dope.
With 4 attacks and who knows what weapon you got. Like, even just a Celestial Blade is 4 attacks, a weapon skill 7, strength 5, AP 1. That's decent.
Always strength first.
For 4 points. 6 and points, then it makes whatever it was.
Makes your Longbow weapon skill 6, which could come up for sure. But let me throw you a wrench in your plan here, Dan. Oh. They can take illusion magic. So just, you know, spectral doppelganger about it.
Illusion. Yeah, and but these are the signature spells. You can just get one of these pretty
right,
much.
Right, so take illusion, get your doppelganger, and ancestral warriors.
Okay, now you're actually making a really good battle mage.
No, that sounds terrifying.
And we haven't even gotten to their magic items yet.
Right, and an illusion, I think the other signature spell, it might be the signature spell, is the minus one to hit him. So, I don't know.
Get wrecked.
Sounding pretty dope to me.
All right, you want to talk about the rest of these characters you can take along with your Shugengin Lords you're definitely going to have because they sound great?
Yeah, so the first ones we've got up is our Gate Masters of the Celestial Cities, which are really cool. They're the Guardians of the Gate. They're Jade Warriors that are just really good.
Yeah. Right?
So you have your Gate Master and your Gatekeeper. Your Master is your Combat Lord. He's not on a, they're not on a dragon. Or a mini dragon, but it starts out with weapon skill 7. They're ballistic skill 4, so you know they're better than dwarves. Strength 4, toughness 4, 3 wounds, initiative 4, 3 attacks, and leadership 9. So they're right.
They're good.
They're not initiative 6 with 4 attacks, but they're only 80 points.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. It's interesting. The weapon skill is so high, but they don't have as many attacks as other combat characters.
Yeah. You can still take your Celestial Blade, so you get your 3 attacks at your huge leadership. And you can take a Cathayan Warhorse as well, so you can take a Cathayan Lance. So, I don't know. Interesting how you'd want to get those out. So your Blade is 6 points, your Lance is 4 points, your Warhorse is 16. The Gatemaster can take up to 100 points of magic items, a Gatekeeper 50 points. Kind of, the normal stuff here. And they have 2 special rules, the Harmony of Stone and Steel, which is right below, and then the Will of the Dragons, which everybody has. So the Harmony of Oath of Stone and Steel, my goodness, the Harmony of Stone and Steel.
That under sounds the command like of, a Anvil of Doom spell.
It does, I almost said it, Oath and whatever. Under the command of Gate Masters and Gatekeepers, Cathayan soldiers serve the Dragon Emperor with unrivaled discipline. So a unit joined by a character with a special rule may reroll any failed leadership test when attempting to reform after running down a foe, when attempting to redirect a charge, or when making a restraint test, which is really awesome.
It's really important, so it really gives you more control over your units on the battlefield, which makes perfect sense with these guys. I think it's a great rule.
A fantastic rule, for sure.
I also want to quick point out that these guys come with hand weapon, heavy armor, and shield all baked in, which is nice. So even just if you keep them just like naked, 80 points for this guy, he's already rocking a 3-up save in combat.
Yeah.
Which is not bad.
No, that's pretty incredible.
He's going to be weapon skill 8 half the time. You get the other spell off, now the Gate Master's weapon skill 9? hitting pretty much everything on 2s?
It's fantastic. I love it. Why would you not want that?
Also, if you mount him, I think the Cathayan Warhorse automatically comes with barding and yep. The Cathayan Cataphract rule and counter charge and first charge. But wait, Lancers didn't have first charge, did they?
Well, the Warhorse has first charge.
What? But if you put him. Yeah, that's weird.
No, 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 Dan, the horse has first charge.
I know. I don't understand. I'm pretty sure. But if you put him in a unit of lancers, you don't have that rule anymore.
No, the horse has first charge.
You're a horse.
Is what I'm saying.
That's just so weird that it's not built into the rules for the lancers. Because all the other ones, cataphracts, countercharge, swift stride. Watch out for them horses. They're going to run right over. Watch out for those horses.
It's friggin' hilarious. Oh my gosh. Wow. Dan, talk to me about these magistrates, dude.
Okay, so we've got wizard fighty lords on dragon-ish things. We've got dudes that really know how to lead. What about more utility characters?
Mm.
We have the Lord Magistrate and the Strategist are the magistrates of Grand Cathay. These guys are dirt cheap at 65 and 40 points, respectively. Their stats are not impressive, though. You know, movement 4, weapon skill 5 or 4, ballistic skill 4, strength and toughness 3, 3 or 2 wounds, which is nice, initiative 4 or 3, and then attacks 2 or 1, and leadership 9. So they are not combat characters.
However.
At all. But they can do some cool stuff.
They can do some cool stuff.
They can take gunpowder bombs or dragon fire bombs. Oh, because they can be mounted on a sky lantern.
Dope.
You want to field like 6 sky lanterns? You can.
I'm so angry, man.
You want to talk about the Lord Magistrate can take up to 100 points of magic items. The Strategist can take up to 50. But you want to talk about these gunpowder bombs and dragon fire bombs quick?
Yeah, I really do. Actually, you know how much I love fire. So your gunpowder bombs are range 9 inches. They're strength 3, armor bane 1, the move and shoot, and they're quick shot. So if your roll to hit is successful, a gunpowder bomb causes D3 hits to the target enemy unit rather than the usual one, which is cool. This neat little 9 inch just like, meow, right?
Not bad for 5 points.
No, not at all. Then your dragon fire bombs are far more devastating than gunpowder bombs. Dragon fire bombs unleash a torrent of all-consuming alchemical fire upon the foe. Still range 9 inches. They are strength 4, though, with AP 1. Armor bane 1, flaming attacks, move and shoot, and quick shots. So they're just a little bit better. And that's D3 plus 1 hits rather than the regular 1 hit this time. So they're just a little bit caked up, right?
The only problem there is that you have to hit.
Correct. On your
ballistic skill 4.
So you're what, hitting on a 4 for range?
Yeah.
Not terrible. If you throw them out as a stand and shoot, that could be pretty nice.
Yeah, because with that move and shoot and quick shot, real nice combination of rules, so they're not going to be penalized nearly as much as other things.
Where they really shine, though, is their special rules. That Grand Strategist rule is incredible. Could you read that off for us?
Oh, yeah. So magistrates are adept at outwitting their enemies, both across the negotiating table and on the battlefield. Unless this character is fleeing, all friendly units within their command range, except your general, can use this character's leadership of 9 instead of their own. In addition, once per turn, a friendly unit that wins a round of combat whilst within this character's command range may choose to fall back in good order rather than make a follow-up or pursuit move, which for positioning can be really important.
Dan, I don't even think you understand how incredible this rule is.
It's so good.
It's so good. In a game where positioning is everything and you can sling out once or twice a turn random movement D6 on an enemy unit, this is incredible.
And there's no... Oh, within the character's command range. But still, that's 9, unless you're in a Sky Lantern, which I'm pretty sure is a large target. I think that makes it 12 or 15.
That's insane.
So
it's
good.
Insanely good.
These guys also have the Harmony of Stone and Steel. So if you want to put them in a unit, they can reroll the leadership test when attempting to reform, running down a foe, attempting to redirect a charge, or making a restraint. If you don't want to put them in a lantern, they can buff a unit that way by telling them what to do. And of course, they have Wheel of the Dragons.
It's so good, dude.
These guys seem... And they're so cheap.
They're so cheap. Pop them all over the place.
I don't know why you bother taking a Lord Magistrate for 25 more points. Like, hey, you get an extra wound or whatever, but throw him in a Sky Lantern, and the strategist can do everything just as well as the Lord Magistrate.
Absolutely.
Even as the same plus of skill and leadership, like, the only thing you get, like, you get one more wound might be worth that 25 points in the balloon, but I think the strategist is going to be worth it the vast majority of the time.
I got to be honest with you, having just one extra wound of the balloon, I don't, you know what I mean? Maybe it is worth it. I don't know. Again, I haven't had it on the table yet. But as our last thing, do you want to just go over the balloon real quick just to see if I'm wrong?
Yeah, I was going to say that. We can have an Air Force here. You can take a number of these Grand Strategists with Sky Lanterns. You can get a Sky Lantern in special if one of these guys is your general, right?
Sure.
Is that where you get special? Just going to go back to that real quick.
If your general is a Lord Magistrate, it's a strategist. Yep, yeah. 0-1 is a special.
You know, generals based on leadership, so you could definitely make your strategist your general pretty easily.
For sure.
And so this is a heavy chariot, technically, on 100x100 base. But we all know it's all about the height with this thing. It's gigantic. Mm-hmm. The balloon mm-hmm. is so
foot
big.
And a half tall. Yep.
Unit size of 1, of course. It comes with a 4-up armor save, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And it comes with, there's a lantern gun. There are 4 lantern gunners and a commander that counts as a champion. They come with just hand weapons, but whatever. the lantern and commander must... Oh, and it's 135 points.
It's so cheap!
Which is not bad at all. So you
attach... For 7 wounds, a toughness 5?
Yeah. And you can, it's you so know... Cheap. And a Sky Lantern may be included in your army as a character's mount. If so, its points are added to that if it's a rider. So now your strategist is just 175 points.
It's dirt. It's dirt cheap, dude.
And it's 9 wounds now because you add characters to their wounds to it for being a chariot. And it's a chariot, so you got 360 line of sight in there with your bombs and stuff. But the gunners and commander must take either Sky Lantern crane guns or iron hail guns and gunpowder bombs for no additional points cost. Or they can take iron hail guns and dragonfire bombs for 20 points.
Dan, did you want to throw out 5 dragonfire bombs? Because you could do that for 20 points.
Right. And if you have a strategist in there with his own, now you're dropping 6.
No, that yeah, for real. It's insane.
Blitz of skill 4, the commander, the champion in there is Blitz of skill 5.
Oh my gosh, dude. Piss off.
And you could take Sky Lantern bombs for 15 points a model.
Can I go over them? Can I do it?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, why don't you go can over these it? Weapons and then we'll do the okay. special rules.
So I think our first one was the Sky Lantern crane guns. Is that right?
Yep, that's something you can take for free.
So that's 36 inches.
What?
I just want to go over that again. That's 3 feet.
Oh my god, they're Gisales.
That's 6 strength, AP2, armor bane 2. Strength. They are cumbersome, though.
And you've got 5 of them? Plus it's 4 and 5. That's so good.
So the only thing that you can't do is use them for stand and shoot. It's so
is that
good.
Cumbersome? I thought cumbersome was cumbersome. -2 for moving.
No, am cumbersome is you can't stand and shoot.
What's the one that you get minus? Oh, ponderous is -2 for moving. Yep. So the only. Oh my god, that's so freaking
stupid.
Good! Wow, and that's baked into the point cost. What about iron hail guns? They also and gunpowder bombs, so they must be a little bit worse.
So the iron hail guns are 12-inch. So they're only a foot. They're strength 3, AP 1. They are move and shoot, but they're multiple shots D6, which is D3. Pretty cool. So they suffer no negative modifiers for shooting at long range for using multiple shots D3 special rule or while making a stand and shoot.
They're blunderbusses.
They're so good.
They're like lead belchers. Just
yes, man.
But only strength 3, but AP 1 is nice.
Yeah, 5 D3 shots at 0 negative modifiers.
And you could, and you also get gunpowder bombs.
Yeah, which we've gone over before, which are okay.
They're
oh my gosh.
That's so good.
I'm going to use the iron hail guns all the time.
Oh my God.
All the time.
I don't know. I like the crane guns because you're just sniping. But you're going to have a bunch of these in your list. So you're going to mix it up.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
What about sky lantern bombs?
So this is one of those things they can do in bombing.
Model.
Yeah, this is kind of like the bombs that you have on Thwapa Thwapas. What are those called?
Gyrocopter.
Thank you, gyrocopters. Jeez. So after they can perform a bombing run against a single enemy unit that is not engaged in combat. To do so, they have to move within 6 inches of the unit it wishes to attack. So not over it. Once this model is moving, it's complete. Yeah. So you roll a d6. On a one's premature detonation, listen, happens. There's pills for that. You take a single wound. On a two.
Not bad when you got seven.
Yep. On a two, it's dud. Right? So.
this is ridiculous.
The bomb is released. It's square. It fails to detonate before landing squarely upon the head of an unfortunate enemy. The unit just loses a wound. Poof. You died.
Like, that's almost better than the other results against, like, a monster or something. Like, oh, I drop right? on the dragon's head and just takes a wound. If it explodes, it might not hurt it, but if it just lands on it, you just take a wound.
Yeah, for the second, or three through four, it's a direct hit, and it's a cluster of bombs. The first one, they just, one bomb was let off, and they were like, oh, oopsies. But this one is the large blast template, so center holds directly over the enemy unit. It scatters d6 inches, which is stupid.
That's a lot. And then
anybody might be hit. It's a strength 5 AP hit with AP 2. Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
Yeah, strength 5 AP 2 is really nice, but you're not going to get that many. I mean, it is a large template, 5-inch template, but scattering d6 is brutal. Like, you could just miss.
The second one is okay. You place two small blast templates, and they both scatter d6 inches with strength 5 AP 2.
Nah, I'd rather just get a dud most of the time.
You know what I mean? Just here's your auto wound.
But without access to, I don't know, because, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, template weapons like this are good for killing a bunch of weaker infantry. But we're going to see and a infantry, lot more of that now.
I was just going to say, infantry just got a buff.
Yeah, so you're going to see them more often. So these aren't bad. For 15 points, I definitely would not take this on every lantern if I had multiple in a list, but I would have it on a couple for fun.
Yeah, two-ish. Sounds great. Sounds great. And those are just the weapons. We haven't even gone over the special rules
yet. You want to hear these special rules?
Tell me about
it. First up, it's close order. Doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter unless you have the Grand Magistrate in there to make it 10 wounds.
Yep.
Oh, no, never mind. It's not it's a heavy chariot. It's just unit strength 5 all the time. So you don't get the, you know, it has the other close order rules, but you're not going to get that combat order bonus. It has disengage, which is a new rule for it. It says, should this model lose a round of combat, it may attempt to disengage by making a leadership test, which is 8, maybe 9, if you got a character in there. If it's passed, this model may fall back in good order rather than give ground. Enemy units can follow up as if this model had given ground, moving 2 inches directly towards this model, but cannot pursue it, so you can get away out of combat. However, if this test has failed, this model is unable to disengage and must give ground as normal. In addition, should it win a round of combat, this model may choose to fall back rather than make a follow-up or pursuit move. So if you don't want it to be in combat so you can shoot more or get more impact hits, you can get out of combat way easier than usual.
Yeah, so you don't actually need the strategists. That's baked into it, which is really cool.
Yeah. It has Eye of the Dragon, which means friendly models whose weapons shoot using the bombardment special rule can shoot using this model's line of sight rather than their own.
I'm sorry. I missed that.
So those rocket launchers we'll talk about next time with ogres shoving rockets in there can use the
That's awesome.
Line of sight of any lantern.
That's...
Yeah. It says, from the vantage point of a sky lantern's armored gondola, gunners signal the crews of earthbound war machines guiding their aim. So they have, like, semaphore, you know, flags like, hey, there's stuff over there. Shoot that way.
That's so cool.
They have feigned flight, which I'm trying to remember exactly how that one works. I think that's when you can flee as a charge reaction and then just rally.
Yep. And then you automatically rally at the end of its move, which is incredible.
Yeah, so good. Or you can fire and flee instead, shoot and then float away. This thing's so mobile. It's fly 8. If it can't fly, it's movement 1. The guys just carry it, I guess. And it also has the Heavenly Beacon as a new rule. Brightly colored and illuminated from within, Sky Lanterns act as both a beacon and a rallying point to the forces of the Celestial Dragon. Unless it's fleeing, friendly units within 12 inches of it may reroll any failed panic or rally test.
Incredible.
In addition, while this model's on the battlefield, unless it's fleeing, you may apply a +1 or -1 to your roll for ambushers.
Oh, cool.
And finally, Lord Magistrate or Strategist mounted on a Sky Lantern has a command range of 12 inches. There we go.
Yeah, which is kind of absolutely massive, to be perfectly honest.
Right, it's huge for their rules. It has impact hits D3 +1 at strength 5 AP 2 because it is a heavy chariot.
Mm-hmm.
I just imagine it just lands on things and crushes them. It's a large target, of course. It has reserve move, which is fantastic for this because you can move, take all your shooting, and then move again so you effectively can march with fly 8.
Awesome.
And then scouts, if you really want to be annoying. And it's also unbreakable.
Yes, I want to do all of those things. It's so mobile, dude. It's so mobile. It's insane. And I just checked. You can fire and flee and combine it with feigned flight.
Oh, my God. What?
So you can shoot. You roll 2d6 and take the lowest result and then automatically rally.
That's so good.
It's so good, man.
Huge movement range with movement with fly 8 and reserve move. Like, chariots can march now, which is nice, but like to get all that shooting, move 8, shoot a bunch of stuff, move 8 again. Good lord, it's so good.
The reason I'm so upset about this is there's a number, but the reason I'm so upset about this is because we got a blimp and it's not dwarves.
There's a number,
it's
there's a number of reasons.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons. It's incredibly cheap, which the dwarf blimp that we will never get will not be. And it's so unbelievably good, which the dwarf blimp will not be. I'm so angry about this thing. It's incredible.
I think the only downside to it, I mean, I want to say it's only toughness 5, but that's still pretty good.
With at least 7 wounds, Dan?
Yeah, 7 wounds is tough to bring down. I'm not sure why it has so many wounds. Like,
it's a piece of paper.
Every other chariot has like 4. So to have 3 more is kind of nuts.
I could probably look up why it has 7 rules. You have to give me a couple minutes if you want to just filler because, that's right. It's $160 a piece.
Yeah, that's...
That's probably why it's 7 wounds.
It's a lot of money.
It's so much money.
Yeah.
I'm just going to send you a picture of how huge this thing is.
I've seen some comparisons. It's next to one of the gatekeeper guys?
Yeah,
it's just so big. Well, I mean, the gondola can fit 5 dudes in it.
Oh my gosh, man. And that's the problem with this thing. It's $160 and it's worth every penny because it not only are the rules. Not only are the rules just incredible, the model is gorgeous.
It's really good looking.
It's so pretty.
I absolutely agree.
Each one of the dudes on there has like, oh my gosh, the chick with the little pigtails and the guy who's like laughing at you as he's flying over you, dropping bombs. And there's another dude with like a stick in his mouth.
I imagine he's like, I know this one's a dud. Donk. Take a wound about
Thonk. This dude's like dual wielding bombs that he's lighting with a stick in his mouth. Like it's so dope. And we haven't even gone over the special character.
Or the giant monstrous stone monster.
Oh my god, dude. The Cynthian Sentinel is incredible.
I love monsters. I'm really pumped. And then we have all their magic items, which are great.
And then the cannons and the brain rocket batteries.
I forgot about the cannons.
It's everything in this this arm is so good. It's so good. And they set the price at a premium for a reason, because they're going to sell so many of these models.
Yeah, for real. For a number of reasons.
Oh my gosh, dude. I got to stop talking about this, because as excited as I'm getting pissed off about it too, because I want my dwarves to be good, man, and I want to blimp. Anyways.
Hey, just remember, your dwarves are way better now FAQ than they were before. So,
The only thing I'm upset about with my dwarves is my iron breakers didn't get any better, because they're still only a 3+.
Right. They can't get better than that.
Womp womp. Dan.
Yes.
This, it just every time I record with you, it's an incredible amount of fun. I just want you to know that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And this was no different. Let's talk about our socials.
Very fun. Dan. We got
those. I don't know if you've heard about this website, but it's called professionalcasual.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got all our socials on there. It's got our podcasts and our blogs and our merch. Everything's on there. You can go check it out, professionalcasual.com. Super easy to get to. Hey, bookmark it. I don't know. Tell your friends about it or something, right? Start up conversations and be like, hey, you heard about the Professional Casual Network? Because they're dope. You know who's even doper? Is Dan at startplaying.games. If you look up Bad GM Dan, you can find the best GM that I've ever had.
Aww.
And you can play games with him. And it's the friggin' best. Like, I'm so jealous that people get to spend their days playing games with Dan. That is literally a dream of mine. I would love to be able to do that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, dude, for real. And Dan's doing this, 10% off something or other? If you go onto our Facebook, you can find the link.
Yeah, so that was something they just started recently, last week or so, where if you're new to Start Playing Games, which you probably are, because it's been around for a few years now, but it's really, I feel like, starting to take off, that clicking that link and you will get $10 off your first session.
Oh, $10. Okay. Yeah.
I think. And heck, the best part about that is that it's like, as the GM, it's not out of my pocket. It's out of Start Playing's pocket.
Oh, cool. That's really nice, actually. I dig that a lot.
So that you get a credit or something. I forget exactly how it works, because I'm not really signed up as a player. So
fair, actually. Other places that you can hang out with us is twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork. And guess what? Dr. D's streaming right now.
Of course he is. Even though we're a day late with this, he's still there.
So we've got, the Power Phase over there, which is on a small hiatus while we move house and move studio. And then Dr. D's Disaster Zone, which he's doing right now, and he's painting some sort of minis. Who knows? Ben's solo missions. There's all sorts of stuff going on Twitch. Just go over there, give us a follow, and, I'd say this on YouTube, ring the little bell, but, make sure your notifications are on so you know when we go live. And we also have a P.O. Box. It's P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. If you want to send Dan a Sky Lantern, because he'll actually assemble it and paint it, unlike myself, where it will sit in a box for 6 months. But I still got those chocobos behind me. I gotta spray paint them more.
And wood elves. Yellow.
And those wood elves. Oh my gosh, it's insanity over here. Hey, a review would be super dope, folks. If you could, Apple Podcast or Audible, that would be absolutely incredible. Anywhere would be great as well. But if you could give us a review on Apple Podcast or Audible, if you like the show, please do so. Hey, Dan.
Hi.
You got anything you want to say to the peoples?
I'm tired.
Dude, I am too, and I've had two gins. So
moving's exhausting.
Moving is exhausting.
But I do want to say...
Yeah, go ahead.
May your dice ever roll sixes, unless it's a leadership test.
Yeah, take Dan's advice, unlike Dan, who doesn't take Dan's advice.
I'll try better next time.
Try better next time. The last little bit... YouTube.com/THROLASH if you want to watch some Minecraft stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you to death, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Do it.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolforp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.